Vignette number 119 from Zen is right here, teaching stories and anecdotes of Shunryu Suzuki. A student asked Suzuki Roshi what he thought American Zen would be like in the future. "Very colorful," he answered. That's from Richard Baker at Sokochi around 1966, from page 122. "Very colorful." Yeah, I remember that. I remember him saying that. Although, you know, what I've heard so much, and some things I've heard a number of times, that I could very easily have just manufactured it, that memory that I remember him saying it. I don't really know a lot of times what, if I was really in the picture or not. It doesn't matter. I mean, some things I know, but I would put this in the vague category. Yeah, I remember that. Maybe I was there, that sort of thing. So, very colorful. Huh, right. Well, yes, definitely. Coming from Japan, Japan really honors the themes of black and white. The white is the color of death in Japan. Interesting, huh? And I remember the cars were white when I lived there, 88 to 92. My wife then, Elin, said, "Yeah, Japan, the cars are white and the people dress in black." And it was true. Like, we were standing on a walking bridge in Osaka. There were four bridges. So you could completely bypass the street and get where you wanted to go. But also, a lot of times, they would just, all the cars would stop, and then people could go every which way. They could go catty corner, you know, across the street. But anyway, we're looking down at it, and she said, "Look, all the cars are white, and all the people are dressed in black." Now, that's changed a lot since then. We had a neighbor who drove a big black car, and which was funny because that's sort of associated with the Yakuza, the gangsters there. But she and her husband, he was a prominent doctor, and they just had a big black car. And she drove him to work every day. He didn't drive, and went and picked him up. But very colorful. So it came, you know, to America, austere. And say, so the color might be in a single flower or something like that. Very minimal and all that. And you know, the sumi circles are like black ink on white. Well, not just sumi circles, calligraphy, all of it. It's just black on white. Until Kazuaki Tanahashi came along and was doing like rainbow sumi circles. So Suzuki arrived there in 59. Before he knew it, there was the extremely colorful psychedelic thing going on. I mean, the art and so much color in everything. And also in people's expressions, in people's freedom to talk. And Richard Baker, and I've heard other people say this, Richard Baker said, we valued freedom of, I'm not sure exactly how he said it, but something like freedom of movement, freedom of expression. And they didn't have that as much in Japan. They had a lot of social pressure to conform. But he said they had more freedom of thought, that we tended to be more rigid in our thinking. And he said their thought tended to be like a cornucopia of flora and fauna. Hard to know. But I thought that was an interesting comment. Anyway, and I remember Claude Dalberg, who, to me, Claude Dalberg was a sort of black and white person. He was very serious. He liked the Quakers. He went to Quakers meeting. He liked Judd Oshinshu. And he was one of the most senior Buddhists in America, having gotten involved first in the late 40s. But he wanted Zen Center to remain small and intimate, and it got too big for him, and he felt it was getting too bureaucratic and too regimented and stuff like that. And so when he heard this years later, you know, after Suzuki had been long gone, he said, no, it's not colorful. But it was just not the colors he wanted. There was a lot more expression, different types of expression, you know, women rising to the top, the way Buddhism expressed itself. It did not conform to the forms that we had inherited in many ways. You know, we did in some ways, you know, we sat zazen and were rather traditional in that. And, oh, but so many ways we were different. So there were it's like a garden with all sorts of flowers blooming. And, you know, their tradition is you don't dabble in mix things, and you just do one thing and focus on it to the end and don't pay any attention to any other distracting things. And, you know, he just had to give up on that somewhat when he came here, because people were into all sorts of stuff. And then he got interested in all sorts of stuff, not that he was chasing after it, but people would explain to him things about American Indian religions, Hopi in particular, and some of the Northern California Indians, and there was a shaman from there. People knew all sorts of things, you know, and some of the human potential movement, sensory awareness, all sorts of stuff he became familiar with, and sometimes would join in a workshop with. He loved it. He opened up. He flowered. Yeah. So, we'll see. I mean, it's always a struggle with conformity and nonconformity and change and staying the way it is. But there's so many different expressions of practice happening now. And I mean, personally, I like that, but we'll see. I have to hear a lot of feedback from a lot of people. And, you know, a lot of people think it's all going to hell, but they think from all these different points of view, you know. And then a lot of people think it's all great. Mel Weitzman thought everybody's, you know, who died recently, was head of the Berkeley Zendo Forever. He thought everybody's different expression and understand it all added up to a big, wonderful mosaic. I sort of like that. That's not how he expressed it, but that's how I'm expressing what he expressed to me. Anyway, what will Buddhism be like in the future? Well, whatever it is, I'm happy to be colorful or uncolorful together with the rest of you. This has been a Cuke Audio mini podcast. I'm DC Poobah of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sonora with dog and Bandita, feline Cuchita, and dear, lovely Katrinka. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.